Pictured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in to Wretched Radio today. Nope, I'm not Todd Friel. As a matter of fact, I am Jimmy Hicks. Todd today is going to be chatting it up with a man whose passion for evangelism has touched millions of lives all over the world. That man is Ray Comfort.
Welcome to Herding Cats, which is actually easier than having a meal with you, Ray Comfort, but you're locked into your conference room now, so you can't go squirreling all over the restaurant passing out your little gospel tracts. 20 years ago that you and I first met, did you know that?
20 years. It's been a big week. I turned 50 as a Christian last Tuesday.
That's right. Yeah.
YouTube just passed 200 million views last night.
That's crazy.
And you're here today. And something else happened.
Just kind of went right after the 200 million views, didn't it?
So it's, and I've been, it's 20 years since we met. I remember that moment that we met.
You do not.
No, well, I just have to say that.
You do not. But I remember when I met you, I was at a radio station in Minneapolis, KTIS. They fired me, but I'm not bitter. I have definitely gotten over it. I do not feel angry or upset anymore. And I heard about, you know this story, I got a press release that a Christian was going to debate the president of the National Atheist Association at their conference. And I thought, well, I've got to meet this fellow. And it turned out to be Ray Comfort.
Why don't you do a New Zealand accent instead of the Russian accent?
They're all the same. Yeah, yeah. My German. I'll do your name in German. Ray Comfort. Oh, see, I can't do it any other way. And I got a hold of your people, because you have people, and scheduled an interview with you, and it was life-changing, right?
For better or for worse?
Oh, it was going so well before then. My first question was, okay, so give me what was your big, you know, boom, knockout punch? Do you remember what you said?
I spoke to their conscience. When
exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yes, that was the big knockout.
And I said, what? Because I was waiting for something apologetic that you would launch at the guy. But you went to the conscience, so I was intrigued by it. And I listened to Hell's Best Kept Secret. Didn't fully get it. Listened to it again. Got it. And that's when I called you up, if you remember. And I said, Ray, I'd like for you.
I feel nauseous.
I'd like for you to come on for like the next 18 weeks. Do you remember that?
No, you didn't tell me 18 weeks. I think it was just once, but you put bait on me at the end of at the end of each program. I'd be mid-sentence and you'd say, that's great, Ray, good to talk to you, and you'd cut me off. And it let me think again, hang on, I've got something else to say. And then I was on the next day, and it was, I think, 16 weeks, I remember.
Yeah,
and I usually only do one interview, but you are the best interviewer.
No, sure.
Yeah.
But that was to this day. It's been downhill. That was some of the best radio that I've ever been involved in, because it was so transformative. And at the time, I think it actually, we felt the effect in the Twin Cities, because we were promoting, giving out gospel tracts. If you remember, we did the seminar with, that's the guy right there. Okay. The little
just
growing
pattern. I've got to say something about this. You had to listen to Hell's Best Secret twice before you got it.
Yeah.
Kirk listened to it twice before he got it. I've heard that a lot. So we should just say to people, just listen to this the second time first.
Save you an hour.
Yes.
Well, in my opinion,
yes,
it's probably one of the best and most important sermons preached on American soil from a far runner.
Well,
I think it's like Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I think it's been that impactful.
Well, I've always been very humbled by it, because when I discovered it, I thought, how do I know this? Because I'm a dummy. I really, really seriously had those thoughts, and I've been so delighted at what God's done For you to get 3,000 people out to an evangelism seminar, yeah. we have always avoided the word evangelism,
right? You
know, because that's it's like someone saying to me, "Would you like come and learn about door knocking?"
Yeah, it's clean your gutters day.
Yes, yeah, that's it. Because door knocking for me freaks me out. Did I ever tell you about the first time I went knocking on doors for the gospel? I was a new Christian, 2 months old, and I was aware that Jehovah's Witnesses had stolen our thunder. So when I knocked on the door, it opened. There's a lady there. I says, "Hello, ma'am. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness." And she says, "Well, I am."
Maybe a new tactic was needed.
Yeah. So I've got no attraction to door knocking since that day. And that's how people feel about evangelism. So we've had to just kind of disguise it. But you got 3,000 people out to a seminar on evangelism.
But here's what happened. Now, this is the power of a local Christian radio station just drubbing the message. I would go through a drive-thru and say to somebody, "Hey, did you get one of these?" And they go, "Yeah, like 3 today." Because everybody was giving out gospel tracts.
Yeah.
It was transformative. And I would have to say that you have been the most significant and influential player in actually reigniting evangelism and open-air preaching in this country.
Well, I don't know what to say about that, Todd.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That was
good. That's what you say.
That was very kind of you. Thank you.
Yes. All right. This is what I want to do. I want to go back in time 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you recall, I had the Living Waters. They were cassette tapes.
The 16-tape series, Excellence.
That's why it was 16 weeks.
That's right.
There it is.
Yes.
So I would listen to it. I would take a bunch of notes. And then I'd have you come on, and I would just kind of walk you through it.
I didn't realize that's where you got those 16 weeks from. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it didn't work at all with you.
I didn't.
I would always say, "Okay, so Ray, tell me the illustration about the pennies being lost." Well, I don't know, Todd. Why don't you tell it? So this is what I did in preparation for our conversation about true and false conversions. Uh-huh. That is the subject of the day. It's also the subject du jour. To talk about what we should do, perhaps especially as parents, but as evangelists, Sunday school teachers, neighbors, to make sure that we don't produce an even greater crop of false converts. Because that's the second sermon of yours that was so transformative, was true and false conversions. And it helped me to get it.
Thank you, Todd.
It did. You only learned twice. You have to hear it twice to get it. This actually going back. When I was in radio, I was kind of new to evangelical Christianity. And in a radio station, they want you, the publisher send you books. You can eat if you'd like to.
How long are you going to talk?
Do what you got to do. And they would send you books in hopes that you would then interview the author. You know how that game is played. And so they sent them to me in hopes that I would talk about them on air. And I did. Because every day I would get a stack about this high. And I would go through them on the radio with my garbage bin right there. Mm-hmm. Read it. If it's good, keep it. If not, into the garbage it went. Because I couldn't figure out why there was so much dreck being written.
Right.
And nonsense and off the mark. And that is why the law in evangelism, because many of us had learned law before gospel, but you're the guy who helped show us how to do that. So I want to talk about Hell's Best Kept Secret and True and False Conversions. And let's see what your memory is like these days, Ray.
It's actually worse, Todd. Seriously, you know who Janet Paschal is?
Can I take the plastic off?
Yeah, we want to reuse it.
Right.
After you eat with it. You're going to regret that. I just regretted putting one in my mouth. I did when you were talking. I thought, I've got to get rid of this really quick. I was on with Janet Paschal, and she asked me about a book I wrote 4 books ago, and I had no idea what it was about.
Right.
It was just embarrassing. It was crazy, but it just goes as you get new stuff.
Yeah. Well, this is Hell's Best Kept Secret in True and False Conversion, in hopes that we can start to maybe lower that false conversion rate, especially with our children.
Mm-hmm.
False conversions in evangelical Christianity. How big is it?
It's huge. It's massive. Because for the last probably 60 years, maybe 70 years, the gospel's been changed. I mean, you're a doctor, you've got a patient. The patient is well, he's healthy, he looks well, he's healthy, he's fit. but you've got x-rays that show he's got a disease that's going to kill him in 2 weeks, so, but you've got a cure. What do? Give him the cure? No, you don't do that. That would be a huge mistake to give a guy who thinks he's healthy a cure to a disease he doesn't know he has. What you do is you show him the x-rays and make him sweat. And as the sweat becomes to come and he says, what should I do? Then you say, I've got the cure, and you give him the cure. So the x-ray is the law. And that's been forsaken for 50 or 60 years. I don't know why, but it's just been dropped. The cure has been preached. Cure, cure, cure. And nobody comes with a knowledge that they've sinned against God. They don't fear the Lord. They just ask Jesus into their heart, and they have a false conversion and fall away. And like we lose, 80 to 90% of those coming to Christ, and the church is filled with false converts. The reason the church looks like the world is because the world is in the church. The doors have been flung open, and they've been told it's easy to come to Jesus. Just give your heart. Psychological manipulation, music at the altar calls, ask Jesus into your heart, decision cards, and it's been a nightmare. And that has taken the salt from the nation. The church should be the salt of the earth. And the government doesn't come to church leaders for advice, moral advice.
You ever
advice.
See them on Fox News being interviewed when there's a catastrophe? Never. No. Pastors aren't considered.
That's it. Because they've been trampled underfoot of men, as scriptures that's despised, because we've lost the salty influence, because we haven't preached the fear of God. Do you know what defensive driving is?
Mm-hmm.
It's pessimistic driving. It's driving like Murphy's Law is real. Everywhere you look, you're looking for something bad to happen. That's wise when you're driving. You know, a kid could come out between cars, a door could fling open. You think like that, and you'll save yourself getting into trouble. That's the principle of Scripture. Ponder the path of your feet.
All right, well, hold that thought, gentlemen. We have got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more from Ray Comfort. This is Wretched Radio. Well, if you're looking for a way to enhance your spiritual growth, let me point you in the direction of our video resources and MP3s that are available in the Wretched store at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Video series like Transformed and Road Trip to Truth, Terrified 2, and others offer visual and engaging ways to understand and apply biblical principles. And for those who prefer audio while you're driving to and from work, we have collections that cover a range of topics from theology to practical Christian living, and we make learning easy on the go. These resources are perfect for your personal spiritual growth. You can also use them in group studies or in church. Each product is designed to be both doctrinally sound and practically applicable. So just visit the Wretched store right now at wretched.org. Browse our video and audio resources and equip yourself with tools you need to help you navigate this brave new world we're living in. You can shop right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical, teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're back on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks in the studio, and today Todd has been speaking with Ray Comfort. Before the break, they were discussing the law in evangelism.
Not only are we missing the law in evangelism, not only are we missing the law in preaching, I think we're missing the law in the entire church service.
Yeah.
You go back to some of the earlier confessions, the harping on the law, the gospel, law, you shouldn't be doing one without the other.
Right.
And in church services, even liturgically, because everybody does have a liturgy, some are higher, some are lower, but there's no preaching of the law of God. There's no reading typically from the Old Testament to read about the laws of God. So really, the law of God, it's not just missing from evangelism. I think it's missing in the church service. I think it's missing in counseling. And I think that's been the biggest, most damaging factor of in evangelical Christianity when it comes to false conversion.
And it puts God on the throne of judgment.
Right.
That's what it does when the law comes back in. So you see that in the Old Testament, when Israel forsook the law, they immediately went into idolatry. Mm-hmm. And when they went into idolatry, the clothes came off. And that's what's happened in our country. Lost the fear of God because of idolatry. So what we have to do is preach the righteousness of God. You're not going to open that up, are you? What's in it?
It's lava sauce.
Yeah.
You should know. It's a grill down the street where we ordered the food.
Yeah, right.
All right. When did you first kind of go, wait a second, the law, I haven't been doing that? When did you discover, rediscover the use of the law in evangelism?
September 1982.
Really?
I remember the very moment,
really?
The very second. And I remember what happened, well, 2 days after, the day afterwards, but let me share with you while you eat. I was in my office, I was an assistant pastor. I was very concerned that so many were falling away from the faith. 90%, I saw that in statistics, I saw it in their own church. And I read a portion of a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. This is what he said. What will you do when the law comes in terror, when the trumpet of the archangel shall tear you from your grave, when the eyes of God shall burn their way into your guilty soul, when the book shall be opened and all your sin and shame shall be punished? Can you stand against an angry law in that day? And I remember thinking, oh, it's a little different from God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.
It is.
And so I pushed that in my memory banks, didn't think of it sort of consciously until a day later. I was 100 miles away in a small church, Presbyterian, it's called a manse. Just do
what?
It, Todd. Do it.
I'm trying.
Oh, just do
but
it.
Then, look, I got the sauce
just,
on the thing.
Yeah.
It's not,
lick it off.
It's what? Not going easy.
Okay. This is going to be awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in this Presbyterian church. I was in a manse, which is the place next door where you live when you're waiting to preach. And I'm it's not going to work, Todd.
Sorry, you were on a roll.
Yeah, I was on a roll.
It was something about a Presbyterian church.
Yeah, I couldn't hear myself think because of the crunch. It was the crunch that was doing it.
Carrots are good.
Yeah. They're uncooked. And you know, they say carrots help you see in the dark. Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't find the switch on the things. It's really annoying. So anyway, I read Galatians 3:24, which said the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I remember thinking, subconsciously, I read it as the law was Israel's schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. That's how I read it.
Mm.
And I thought, I wonder if Spurgeon was right. Can you pick up the law from the pages of Scripture and use it in witnessing to the lost? And so it was like a light, Todd. That's just that breathtaking. So it was in the middle of winter. There were thermal pools in the city or the town. So I went to a thermal pool, sat down, and I said, I'm going to witness to the next person who comes and sits next to me. Big guy came and sat down next to me. And I just said, everyone's the big guy. I know that.
I didn't want to point that out.
Yeah, yeah, longstanding friend that you are. Anyway, do you remember how you used to get on stage with me and I send you off the stage during the Transform Conference?
You wouldn't let me come close
we
to you.
We weren't allowed to be on the stage together because of the height difference. I don't want to embarrass you with your height. It must be horrible to be tall.
And my One of my favorite memories from that is you would, during, you spoke first, I think, then mm-hmm. I came up sometime after, right after you. Mm-hmm. And you said something about, in heaven, you're going to have your redeemed body. Mm-hmm. 6'4".
No, 6'6". Don't cut me short. Six foot six. With a hairy chest.
With a hairy chest. And I would want to say, with all due respect, Ray Comfort, being 6'6 with a hairy chest ain't all it's cracked up to be.
<That's> good.
I enjoyed that moment.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, so anyways, you're witnessing to the big guy.
No, certainly I hadn't witnessed him yet. But when I did, instead of saying, and Jesus fixed all my problems and filled the God check back in your heart, I turned to him and said, I didn't realize God was going to judge me by the Ten Commandments. And if I had looked with lust, I'd committed adultery in my heart. If I'd lied, stolen, I was a lying thief and used God's name in vain. And I realized, I realized if all my sins came out on Judgment Day, I'd end up in hell. And I said, but then I heard that Christ died for me. God's wrath came upon him, so it wouldn't have to come upon me. I broke the law. He paid the fine, rose from the dead through Christ, defeated death, and if I'd repent and trust in him, God would forgive my sins, dismiss my case. That guy stood up, and I'll never forget this because it was a cold day. He stood up, and he was steaming. He looked at me and said, I've never heard that put so clearly in all my life. And he just walked off. And I thought a light went on in his head. The law mm-hmm. was a schoolmaster. The law brought the knowledge of sin. And so I ran to a Christian bookstore and I began grabbing all these biographies and autobiographies from Spurgeon, Wesley, Whitfield, Moody, all those guys. And I knew where to go. I looked at the chapter headings, and if it said preaching repentance, I'd go there, and it was always there. You must use the law or you'll mm-hmm. fill the church with false converts. Yeah. They always said it. People said to me, so many times, you must be so well-read. I wasn't. This is what would happen. I'd go each weekend to a different church. I'd say to the pastor, where's your library, please? He'd say, it's the back there. I said, thank you. I'd go in, and I'd find books not with my eyes, but with my nose. I'd go for the smelly old books. You know those mm-hmm. old ones from, you know, 100, 150 years ago? Pick them up, open them up, and somebody had underlined all the things that I loved mm-hmm. because they had the same spirit in them that was in me. So I instantly found the cream of quotes. It's stick it on a photocopy, take it back, and put it into a book. So those guys knew, they held on to it, and they said, never, never forsake the law because you'll fill the church with yeah. false converts. So
yeah, you're not well-read, but you're well-written. What is it, like 60, 80 books?
That's over 100. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Todd.
So you started incorporating the law into your presentations.
Yes.
And did you discover just bushel baskets full of fruit from that?
Yes and no. Okay. First time I ever preached Hell's Best Kept Secret was in a home church. The pastor was away, and I was filling in for him. And I'd read in some of the greats about something called sighing and heaving. Have you ever heard of that? And they described it as, at the altar, mm-hmm. people would be sighing and heaving. Yeah. And I thought to myself, I mocked it in my mind. I thought, sighing and heaving, what is that about? So I preached the law, then opened up the front. No music. I said, every head raised, no music playing, every eye open. If you need to repent, come to Christ. Come now. This woman came up, and I couldn't believe my ears. She was going, and I thought, sighing and heaving. You know, it was just blew me away that I was seeing what they spoke about. And so there's not a huge reaping at the altar call like you get with modern evangelism, but those right. that come are genuine. Yeah. You don't want Judas as among the disciples, and that's what you do when you throw out the law.
I'm sure that I'm not the only one who feels this way at this moment, but could you do the impression of the sighing and heaving woman again?
It's like when I get my dentist bill. Same feeling.
Same sound.
Same sound, yes.
All right, you brought up the R word, repentance.
Yes.
Is that another contributor to the false conversion rate?
Repentance is necessary for salvation. I get these guys that continually say the same thing. You don't have to repent. You just have to believe. And I write back to them and say, so you're saying sinners have to believe? They have to do something?
Right.
That's works salvation. That's another gospel. We're saved by grace alone. And so Paul preached repentance and faith. Jesus said, repent and believe. It's always in that order. And if you forsake the law, you won't see the necessity for repentance. David had no necessity for repentance until Nathan said, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? Mm-hmm. He coveted his neighbor's wife, lived a lie, stole his neighbor's wife, committed adultery, committed murder. He skittled all the commandments, didn't put God first. He let the name of God be blasphemed. And when he was confronted that he had violated that law, that's when sin became vertical to him. Mm-hmm. Against you. You know, I've sinned against God, David said. That's what the prodigal son said, I've sinned against God, when he realized his desires were for pig food, which is where our heart is at when it comes to sin. And so if you forsake the law, you get rid of you are the man, people are not going to see the need for repentance. It's just believe in Jesus. And that's recipe for a false conversion.
Well, and it's not just believe in Jesus. That would actually be better than some of the phrases that we've adopted.
Jesus into your heart.
Make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Yeah. Accept Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's waiting for our stamp of approval. Mm-hmm. So we've come up with a lot of evangelical lingo to replace repentance and faith. Do you remember back at the, what were they called? The Transformed
Conference. It was a memory training course.
What
you
was
can't
it?
Remember.
Huh?
Transformed is what we call
it. Is that what it was?
Yes.
You know, we're doing a TV show now called Transformed.
You are?
Yeah.
Lawsuit.
Apparently I like
it. Ray Covern is our guest here on Wretched Radio today, and much more from the man himself next on Wretched Radio. And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hanks. Well, in a move to protect children, South Carolina has become the 25th state to ban transgender procedures and treatments for minors. The governor signed the Help No Harm bill into law this week, which prohibits medical professionals from performing gender transition surgeries, prescribing puberty blockers, and overseeing hormone treatments for patients under the age of 18. The law does allow for legitimate medical uses for some of these treatments, such as prescribing puberty blockers for children with rare conditions that cause early onset puberty. It also requires schools to notify parents if the child wishes to use a different name or pronoun. England's National Health Services recently concluded that there is insufficient evidence to support the safety or effectiveness of these treatments for minors. Moving to Washington State, a judge has controversially slashed the bail amount for an illegal immigrant accused of killing a state trooper in a crash while under the influence. The 32-year-old was a Mexican citizen who entered the U.S. illegally. He allegedly consumed cannabis and beer before driving 112 miles per hour and crashing into the state trooper's parked patrol car, killing the young trooper at the scene. The judge reduced the bail amount from $1 million to just $100,000, despite objections from the trooper's widow about the severity of the crime. In other news, the Harvard Corporation, the university's highest governing body, has voted to deny 13 anti-Israeli student protesters from graduating. The students violated school rules by participating in a disruptive 20-day encampment on campus. Remarkably, the faculty voted to allow the students to graduate anyway. And of course they did, because, you know, actions have no consequences, even at Harvard, especially at Harvard. And if you're on the left. Meanwhile, in Illinois, state lawmakers want to change the term offender to justice-impacted individual. That is not a joke. Proponents argue that we shouldn't forever label people by their worst day, but critics say it's a waste of time and taxpayer money to change terminology across state documents. Yeah, I'll agree with that one. Finally, in a rare display of common sense, we have some common sense. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell walked back the league's knee-jerk criticism of Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, who gave a pro-life speech at a Catholic college recently, his alma mater. Goodell acknowledged the diversity of opinions among players, just like in the country, and said that's something to be treasured, although that's not what he believed initially. But at least he did walk it back. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is a philosophical and poetic reflection on life. The author teaches that no matter what, all men die and face God's judgment. Life, then, is full of vanity and despair. Anything that is pursued for its own sake is meaningless. But if we pursue God above all else, we can enjoy even mundane things as gifts from God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks in the studio. And today, Todd has been pestering Ray Comfort.
I spoke to a false convert day before yesterday. I ride my bike, dog wearing sunglasses. I wear sunglasses on. I'm going to go up this bridge to go over a canal. And I see this woman walking across the bridge. And I thought, oh, great. I'm going to wait for 40 seconds because it's so narrow, I can't go past her.
All right.
She'll step onto the road. This is California.
Yep.
She's gone. So I waited for her. 40 seconds for me is like 8 hours for most people. It just drove me crazy. As she walked past, she said, I like your dog. I said, oh, it's a YouTube channel, 200 million views. Would you like to be on? She says, I can't. I'm going to jail today. And I said, come and talk to me. Let's do an interview. Come on. She'd given her life to Jesus, given a quote, heart to Jesus. She had fallen away from the faith, gotten drugs, and now she's going to jail. Mm. And she was distraught. And then she said to me, as I began to take her through the commandment, she said, I had already got the rope, and I was going to hang myself from the overhead bridge. And she was in tears. And took her through the commandments, and I said, you know what godly sorrow is? This is what's been missing. Because I said, my big test, the litmus test for anyone is, do you think you're a good person? Mm-hmm. She was a Christian, she said. I said, do you think? She says, I am. I've made some bad decisions, but I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. She changed her mind after going through the law, and that produced contrition. I said, you know what contrition is? She said, no. I said, it's godly sorrow, because she had tears in her eyes. And the Bible says godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation. That's the order. And I ended up praying with her, and we're going to stay in contact. And she says, the thing that stopped her hanging herself was the thought that Jesus suffered on the cross. Mm. She said, if he could do that for me, I can face this. And that made her put the rope down. Mm. And then I said to her, the reason we bumped into each other is because I had to wait 40 seconds for you to, I'd normally just go straight past her. It was a divine encounter, and it really brought home the point that there must be godly sorrow to work repentance unto salvation, and that's what's missing.
Are there any encounters that aren't divine, though?
Yeah, you're probably right. Maybe this one.
All right. People hear about false conversions, and they hear you cite statistics, 89 to 90% fall away rate, etc. And we all know false converts, and we take a look at the evangelical church, and you see that they're living like the world, talking like the world, watching like the world. The New Testament talks a lot about the subject of false converts. It talks about these people who believed and then fell away because it wasn't a genuine salvific faith. It was a spurious faith. Mm-hmm. And the parable that brings this to light is?
The parable of the sower. Mm-hmm. Mark 4, verse 13, Jesus said, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? In other words, the parable of the sower is the key to unlock the mysteries of all the parables. The wheat and the tares, true and false, the good fish and the bad fish, the foolish virgins and the wise virgins, the goats and the sheep, alongside each other, true and false conversion that are going to be sorted out on the day of judgment. Mm-hmm. So it's an absolute key. Once you understand that, then not only do the parables begin to make sense, but when you read all about the carnal believers, mm-hmm, etc., and all right, these ones that, and the ones that fall away, and Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Never genuine. He was a thorny ground hero. The cares of the world took him away because that's where his heart is. You know, this is so politically incorrect. It's not funny. The scriptures liken the false convert to a dog going back to its vomit. Mm-hmm. To a pig going back to rolling in the mud. And the reason a pig goes back to the mud isn't because it's a dirty animal, it's because it's got to cool its flesh. That's the false convert. The false convert has no knowledge of sin. They're not crucified with Christ. Therefore, their flesh demands cooling, and that's why they go back to the world where their hearts are. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and even look back, Luke 9:62, you're not fit for the kingdom. Those that go back didn't just look back, they went back, proving they were false in their profession of faith.
Mm-hmm. And to illustrate that, you use kind of a Ray Comfort parable, if you will.
No, we're not going to do that.
That I've improved.
Were you going to do it?
Well, I'm just going to improve it for you.
Good, do that.
Okay, how many people got on the plane?
Two.
Three.
Three?
Three.
Oh, you've got somebody else in the plane.
Yeah, you
got
to add.
It's called inflation.
you got to add three, especially if you're talking to younger people. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's the first man who gets on the plane? Who is he?
He's a friend.
Well, not his name.
What do you mean, who is he?
What, tell us how he gets on the plane.
He goes up the steps and sits down.
Okay, Ray.
Look, I shared Hellsby's Skeptic Secret 836 times.
Right. And so this should be hard for you.
But like 12 years ago, I said, enough. And the reason I said enough was because I said to the Lord, I could preach this 1,000 times. And I thought, when the 1,000's up, he's going to kill me. So I'm just going to stop.
I make sure, just in case my math is off, I'll just keep it below 900. All right, who's the first guy who gets on the plane?
He's told that he'd put the parachute on because it would improve the flight. That's what you wanted?
That's the one. Yeah. And what happened to this fellow?
The flight got bumpy.
Yeah.
The stewardess dropped hot coffee all over.
No, that's later. That comes.
The flight got bumpy, took the parachute off.
Yeah.
Now, Todd, you better do this because I hated that teaching because it's so complicated. If you mess up one parachute, the whole thing makes no sense. Back about 15 years ago, I was teaching it in Japan, in Tokyo, and I had an interpreter. He got so messed up, he ran out crying. This was in Japan. I mean, it's Harry, when you do that in Japan. And another guy had to step up and take over because it was so complicated. You know, this man does this, does that. So, Todd, you tell it. Or people can listen to it on livingwaters.com.
So that's how you get so many views. Okay, so the first guy gets on, put on this parachute, it's going to make your flight better.
Yes.
Puts it on, it's heavy, it's uncomfortable, and in short order, he stuffs it underneath the seat because it didn't deliver on its promise.
That's right.
How did I do?
Very good.
Yeah. I didn't even
do a New Zealand accent. God bless you, Todd.
Because I can't.
Yes, that's right.
I was interviewed by a man, Gary Hoogfleet. Do you know who he is in New Zealand?
I saw him. He's tall.
Yes,
like you.
That's right.
He's got grayish hair and a nice smile, and he's got a funny accent. And you thought I was Australian, but you repented, you sinned against heaven, and then you took it back.
And he was so touchy about it.
Of course. Are you Canadian?
Like there's a...
You sinned against heaven. There's not a feud, there's a war.
I think there's a little bit of a New Zealand inferiority complex with Australia.
Well, it's a superiority complex.
I see.
I've got this thing going with Ken Ham. We've been texting each other, and he's involved, daily for years, and he insults me like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I know. That's that way.
It's because he cannot show affection
because
he's Australian. It's a criminal background. He'd say, hey, I really love you, even if you are an idiot. That's how, not like Americans who express love like that. So every time he insults me, it's a sign of his love for me. Yeah. He really loves me.
Ken Ham is not the Ken Ham people know.
No.
Because, you know, he gives that rather stoic, dignified, authoritative.
That's Q and Ham.
When you meet him, he's just a total goof.
Yes, he's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
About 15 years ago, I was in Virginia, Answers in Genesis conference. Ken's right there. And I wanted to share a quote from an old dead guy that I thought was so powerful. It's from Ezekiel, that don't go to war with God. This is, you'll be like thorns going to war against a fire. You're going to be burned up. And it was just really powerful and convicting, and I wanted to share it. And I said, but just so you know, everybody, you don't have to worry about this quote because the guy is dead, so it's safe. His theology can't get wonky. So you're safe with this guy. And I read a quote from a man named Thomas Chalmers. Do you know what Thomas Chalmers invented?
The gap theory. Oh, the gap theory. Oh,
and there's Ken Ham sitting there listening to me tout Thomas Chalmers.
So that's a really bad theory when it comes to Genesis.
Every time I see Ken Ham, well, Todd, it's been a large gap since we've seen each other. Never forgets to just...
Yeah, well, we told him that our YouTube channel passed 200 million views during the night. So he sung me the Hallelujah chorus.
Oh, wow.
Via text.
Yeah. Right? So let me get this straight. I've only heard it now 7 times. You've had over 200 million views.
200 million views. We are ecstatic. I'll tell you why. You go back 40 years, when they had a conference, a combined church conference that gathered people in for a crusade, called it a crusade, where a preacher, an evangelist would preach, it would take 2 years to organize one of those things. Mm-hmm. They had to try and almost talk about herding cats, get the churches to gather together. Then they have a combined church crusade, which means a lot of them are Christians, and that would cost millions of dollars.
Yeah.
We get to reach millions of people with a push of a button. Yep. I just edit stuff, push a button, and we even get paid for it with a kickback with the advertising. So we run around the ministry with our mouths open saying, I cannot believe we have access to literally millions with the gospel.
Do you know why we got kicked off of, well, what do they do? They call it shadow banning.
Yes.
I think so. They identify something you said, they don't like it, so suddenly you can't reach anybody. Because at the time, we were seeing 10,000 new people per month join us, and then one January, it was like 18. Something changed. Well, we finally dug into it and discovered there was a video where I was doing open air preaching, University of Georgia, and I said, if you think you are too dirty to be made clean by Christ, you do not understand the power of his grace, the expansive nature of his forgiveness. If Adolf Hitler...
Oh, there you are. That's it. Hell's Best Kept Secret got taken down. Sorry.
Because of that?
No, 180, our pro-life movie, 6 million views, got taken down because of that. And we had to ask them to put it back up, and they did put it back up. But then you have to be over 18.
Right, to watch this.
We showed the Holocaust, which was just crazy. I mean, talk about forgetting history.
Much more from Ray Comfort next. And that's not misinformation, that's accurate information on Wretched Radio.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Andrew Walker. He's one of 8 new voices joining this ministry later this year. Dr. Walker is the managing editor of World Opinions. He's also an associate professor of Christian Ethics and Public Theology. Earning his PhD from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Walker has written extensively on ethics, including God and the transgender debate, and liberty for all. His work addresses the pressing moral issues of our time with clarity and biblical conviction. And leaders like Dr. Walker are joining our ministry later this year to provide critical content for navigating today's darkened culture. Your support can help us bring even more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today. All of the details right now are available at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
This May, how would you like to create countless Mother's Day celebrations? You say, I can't do that. I only have one mother. While that is most certainly true, there are countless women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation, perhaps being pressured to abort their child. Enter Preborn Ministries, providing ultrasounds, clothing, food, counseling, and best of all, the gospel. And if you would consider supporting Preborn Ministries during the month of May, we have a matching gift campaign taking place, which means dollar for dollar, your gift will be matched. That means if you provide, say, 5 ultrasounds for $28 per ultrasound, that will be 10 babies, because women choose life when they see their child in utero. Would you please consider creating countless Mother's Day celebrations? Preborn.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio, and welcome back to A Day with Ray Comfort.
Let me tell you what happened to me when I was 16. This is 6 years before I became a Christian at the age of 22. I found myself in long grass with a beautiful young lady. She was 16. We were outside a dance, and it was dark. And my intentions were not at all honorable. But she said something to me that horrified me that I'll never forget. It was 5 or 6 words. She said this as we were lying in the grass in the semi-dark. She said, you know what? God is watching us. And it was like a big ice water bucket went on me. Mm-hmm. I was a non-Christian. I said, let's go inside. The fear of God as a non-Christian kept me from making a horrible mistake, bringing shame to her family, which it did in those days, getting a girl pregnant, maybe getting her to have an abortion, bringing shame to my family. And I look back and I thank God for the fear of God that kept me from making a huge mistake. And that's what the scriptures say.
At what age?
I was 16.
No. Was it 200 million views?
Yeah, 200 million.
Yeah, all these numbers are getting confused. It, yes. No, at what age should a parent drop the egg for the child?
Oh, as soon as the egg, as soon as they can understand what happened to the egg. You know, you could do that in front of a 4 or 5 year old and say, look, I don't want you to climb on high things because this is going to happen to you. You're going to break bones.
All right, so let me just push back. But they'll think God is mean.
Yeah, they might think God is mean, but mean, look, I had a root canal day before yesterday.
Really?
Yes. I'm going to tell you about it. I used to say, evangelism is worse than a root canal. I take that back. I absolutely repent.
They're awful.
This was an upper root canal. And if you hate someone, this is what you do. Hang them upside down, put a piece of block of wood between their teeth so they can't talk, and waterboard them for 20 minutes. That's what it felt like. I could not breathe. And they'd say, how you doing? But the dentist is not your enemy, he's your friend. They want to save that tooth. And what we want to do is save the soul. And I may think, well, I wasn't thinking good thoughts. I even said to the dentist when he said, how are you doing? I said, that was waterboarding for 20 minutes. But I know that his motive was that he cared about my teeth. And I've got a Christian dentist who absolutely cares about my teeth like you wouldn't believe, but he drills them. He'll get a probe and he'll go and touch raw nerves. And I go, like that. He's hurting me. Why is he doing it? Because he wants to probe to find where the decay is so he can drill and fill because he wants to save my teeth. So when we probe anyone, whether they be a kid or a parent, it's painful. It's scary. But the motivation is one of love. We don't want to save the tooth. We want to save the soul. And that's the end goal for the parent. So the best thing you can do with a child is put the fear of God in, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Because he's going to find himself in long grass. He's going to find himself with a phone where he can get hardcore pornography with one push of a button when he hits like 15 or when he gets his own phone. So you've got to get the fear of God into his heart. And I believe that's what it means to train up a child in the way he should go. Train him up. Train him up. Don't get a decision. Train them up, teach them the law, bring the knowledge of sin. Let them know that God requires truth in the inward parts. The eye of the Lord is in every place. You know what keeps me from looking at pornography? Not because it's not pleasurable, not because it would be bad for me, but the fear of the Lord. I know the eye of the Lord is in every place, and he says if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. He didn't say keep it there, we're going to slip it back in. He said cast it from you. For it's better to enter heaven without an eye than go to hell with both your eyes. So the fear of God kept me when I was 16, when I wasn't a Christian, and it keeps me when I'm 72. It keeps me from having a wandering eye, having a wandering imagination, and it will keep your kids if you have the good sense to instill the fear of God in them.
All right, so we'll say 5, give or take, you start teaching them about the fear of the Lord. And they're 7, and they say, Mommy, Daddy, I'm a Christian. Do you think it's wise for the parents to take them to church and get them dunked in the jacuzzi?
I would absolutely question a 7-year-old as to whether or not he has a knowledge of sin. And the reason I would do that is because Spurgeon came to Christ at a very young age, didn't he?
It can't. Well, you know what? His testimony was always a little.
Yeah, it's a little murky,
sketchy. It's a little murky.
Because when
he was in the church and the guy was preaching.
Yeah.
That was the deacon.
I'll talk to him about it when I see him. But yeah, I'd be very careful and I'd grill the child to see his motivation, because some kids are mature at 7 years old and some are not. I know I wasn't when I was 7. I couldn't care less about anything other than raiding orchards.
Yeah. My timing is a little off on this
one. It certainly was.
You take a moment. Keep going.
I love Psalm 119, which says,
go.
Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord.
Yeah, there's only like 26 stanzas.
Did you swallow something lumpy?
I don't know, but I'm having a hard time breathing right now.
It's the root canal.
So a kid at the age of 7 makes some sort of profession of faith. I think also looking for unique fruit. not just fruit. So
oh,
if you got a kid,
that's what you were asking for.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, but I get,
I was just asking you, but I'm just adding that looking for unique fruit.
Yes.
Because if the kid always shared and now he's sharing, that's not unique fruit. But if the kid used to beat up his sister all the time and now he's being kind to her, you go, okay, well, that's looking a little different.
Yeah.
But let's talk about puberty. Well, you brought it up that for a kid, all of a sudden the hormones kick in. And I believe you said a girl's figure is more attractive than Noah's Ark.
That's a better shape.
Better shape than Noah's Ark.
And Ken Ham's going to be mad at me for that because he's got a big boat.
It's amazing though, isn't it? Yeah. All right. In other religions, in Judaism, their bar or bat mitzvah, it isn't until about 12. And for other, even like Lutherans and confirmation, it'll be about the age of 12, 14. And there's other religious systems that wait to initiate the young person into their thing until they hit puberty. Do you think that that is wise in some regard?
Yes and no. I've noticed that there's an age of accountability that seems evident sometimes. Are we going to have, are you going to eat all that? Oh, it'd be wise. Just have a piece of rice.
You know.
Just a piece of rice. And you could stick it behind your tooth when I want you to say something.
You're just afraid I'm going to hit you with something. It's going to just shoot out and get stuck in your beard. And then you'll be the fool.
That's right. I've noticed when I've been preaching open air, sometimes you'll get a kid who's 12 years old who listens with wide eyes and open mouth just to everything you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain age, 12, 13, suddenly they become anti-God.
Mm-hmm.
You can just feel it in what they're saying. And so there is, I think, an age of accountability. We don't know what the exact age is, but I think, perhaps.
I think level is a better word.
What's that?
I think level is a better word than age.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
You know, because otherwise, what's the age?
Yeah.
And then you have to explain, well, it just depends on how mature they are.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so maybe waiting to then. And the reason I actually think, I wouldn't make it a law, but the reason I think that that's important is I think a person needs to understand what they're turning from.
Yeah.
And if they don't quite understand the drives that they're one day going to have, and then all of a sudden those appear, they're just off to the sin races.
Yeah.
But when they understand, yikes, okay, I'm 15, 16, I know what this means now to turn from my sins, to turn from pornography, to turn from lusting, to turn from whatever it is that they're up to. That to me seems a little bit more certain than a 10 or an 8-year-old.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to eat that chicken, I can talk about something that's on my heart at the moment.
How many YouTube videos have you?
200 million views.
Is that just really?
Yeah, it just came to me.
That's. Does the gospel make us happy?
Yeah and no. And the way I say that is the fruit of salvation is joy.
Mm-hmm.
And joy is actually deeper than happiness because it's not dependent upon that which happens.
Mm-hmm.
I rejoice, I have joy because I have faith that my name is written in heaven. So I have immediate joy the minute I rejoice my name is written in heaven. So happiness, as I said, is dependent on that which happens. But it should never, ever be used as a draw card for salvation. It will mess up the motive because they could be thrown to lions the moment they come to Christ. And I've often thought about how horrific that would be. What would you do if you were thrown to lions? I know what I'd do. I'd run at the wall real hard and hit my head on it and knock myself out. Because what am I going to offer to a lion? Arm or a leg? Or what a horrible way to die. But that's what happened to Christians who experienced the wonderful plan in the early centuries. So the wonderful plan message is illegitimate. We come to Christ not for a better flight, but for a safe landing. That's our motive.
Yeah. But it has. But there's been other things used as draw cards, too, besides happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a God-shaped hole in your heart. Only Jesus can fill it. So if you need contentment, if you need purpose, if you need joy, if you need better financial principles.
Marriage problems.
There's, from Atlanta to Chattanooga, Tennessee, some lovely Christians have billboards spotted all the way up. And they all say something like, lonely?
Yeah.
Jesus understands or something like that. And it's like, yeah, that's right, but it's not why people should be coming to the Savior, because they're just looking for the gifts and not the giver, and they end up with neither. So using that as a draw card, I think, has been used across the board.
Yeah. I just feel like you need to stop it to the whole church.
How to be a better parent.
Yeah.
improve your golf swing, etc.
Yeah, well, that's what Nathan didn't use that with David.
No, he didn't.
He could have used the improve your slingshot, but he didn't.
And Ray Comfort has been our guest on Wretched Radio today. If you have wondered what the visual of truth and love looks like, Ray Comfort is the exact representation of that in the flesh. He most certainly is. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.